Hare Krishna. So let's chant a loud Hari Bol for all the devotees who made this wonderful video. Hari Bol! So now we have with us His Grace Kalakanta Prabhu. I would like to give a brief introduction of Prabhuji before we get to hear from him. 1972, Prabhuji joined ISKCON in ISKCON Portland. In 1973, he was initiated by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He has served as a book distributor for 10 years after that. Then he was made the temple president. For the last 15 years, he is in ISKCON, Florida, Gainesville, as the temple president. And he is the author of 4 books, Bhagavad Gita, The Rap of God, A God Who Dances, All That Lies Between, The Saint Within. Recently, Radheshampu had gone to America and his mouth was full of glories of what is happening in Gainesville. So I will share a bit of that, because Prabhuji did not share anything much of that, but in the introduction which he gave. Actually, Kalakanta Prabhu, he is leading the whole Gainesville program with great vigor. He is also the spiritual master and the leader of that place. There is a very special program of Krishna Lunch, which Srila Prabhupada inaugurated himself. He instructed that since 1971, that has been going on in the Florida University. And currently 1,000 plates every day are distributed to the people, to the students there. 1,000 plates every day are distributed. And along with that, there is Hare Krishna Kirtans, book table, and all of it is only at $5. And students come in big numbers to take it. And out of that, many of the Western people, then they join into the programs. Practically every day almost, they have a program for newcomers to get into Krishna consciousness. So on Monday and Tuesday, they do yoga discussions. On Thursday, they have a jam kirtans. On Friday, they have Krishna consciousness philosophy discussion. And on Sunday, they have a open congregation program. And their morning program is also very magnetic. So by the very great efforts of His Grace Kalakanta Prabhu and his team, they have actually brought 350 youths who are spread all over US, distributing Srila Prabhupada books and doing preaching to many more. And he has 35 residents in the temple, and that is like the one in one million of America, 3.5 million, and he has 35 residents. So Prabhuji is very, very powerful leader and inspirer. And on this day of Nityananda Tradushi, when the mercy of Lord Nityananda should go to more and more people, we are very blessed that Srila Prabhupada's disciple, who is actually personifying such a mood, has come to address us all. Let us welcome His Grace Kalakanta Prabhu to Shri Shri Radhavindam Chandraban Mandir by 3 times. Loudly chanting! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Nityananda Ram Prabhu ki jai. That was a wonderful film. Such a wonderful project and temple. So, to save time, we'll go directly to discussing the glories of Lord Nityananda. Is that all right? All right. So let me ask, what is the meaning in English of the word Nityananda? Who can say? Always blissful. Hari Bol. So this is a very blissful occasion. It was today, 7 years ago, correct? The temple was open. And it was my pleasure to be there on that day somehow. And it's wonderful to be back again. It has grown so much, expanded so much in those 7 years that clearly the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu is flowing through, because all the devotees appear to be ever blissful. I wanted to begin today by discussing a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. His name is Miniketana Ramdas. Miniketana Ramdas was always glorifying Lord Nityananda especially. And this made him very dear to the devotees, particularly the author of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. We have so many great predecessor acharyas in the line of Krishna consciousness. So many great teachers. And those of us from the Western countries are particularly grateful to Srila Prabhupada for bringing this wonderful tradition to our shores. Prior to Srila Prabhupada's coming to the West, there were 700 editions of Bhagavad Gita in English, but not a single devotee of Lord Krishna. Even though Krishna says at the end of Gita, Sarva dharmam parichaja, mam ekam sharanam braja, just give up all other dharmas and surrender to me. So many, many people were reading Bhagavad Gita, but no one was understanding before Srila Prabhupada's arrival in 1965. Srila Prabhupada translated this Chaitanya Charitamrita to give us information about Lord Nityananda. To study the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study of the postgraduate study of Bhagavad Gita. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study, but Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate of that. So this is PhD level. So this great devotee, Miniketana Ramdas, always speaking about Lord Nityananda, always feeling great ecstasy. And his friend, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, was always appreciating his association. But Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother did not appreciate it. He said, I am a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but I don't care so much for Lord Nityananda. So Krishnadas Kaviraj chastised his brother very strongly. He said, this is like a half-hen philosophy. Someone may like to have a hen because from the back end come eggs which are valuable in the market. But the front end they don't like so much because it eats the grain. So the half-hen philosophy, I like Lord Chaitanya but not Lord Nityananda. This is a very offensive approach. Can everyone hear me clearly? Everything is all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, हम सभी भक्तों से निवेदन करते हैं कि कृपया शांति बनाए रखें जिससे हम प्रवचन का लाभ ज्यादा से ज्यादा उठा पाए. हरे कृष्ण.
शांति. All right. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother in this way. You only want to worship Lord Chaitanya but not Lord Nityananda? This is wrong. That night, because he had made this instruction to his brother, Lord Nityananda came to Krishnadas Kaviraj in a dream. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives a beautiful description, a very vivid description of Lord Nityananda. Would you like to hear this description? I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and then Lord Nityananda placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had a glossy blackish complexion, and his tall, strong, heroic stature made him seem like Cupid himself. He had beautifully formed hands, arms, and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. Don't try this at home. His body moved to and fro, right and left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
In a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were bumblebees. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
absorbed in ecstatic love. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. O my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, he directed me towards Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared along with his associates. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. So thus we see how Nityananda Prabhu directed his devotee to write this transcendental literature for the benefit of all of us. This is the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. Let me ask any experienced managers out there, what is the first principle of good management? Empower, you have to do what? Train, okay. Before you train people, you first of all have to delegate. We have to delegate. So Krishna is Ekala Ishwara Krishna, our Subyabra. He is the one supreme controller. All others are dancing according to his tune. So the first person to whom he delegates is Balaram. Krishna and Balaram are like the same person, but different color. And while Krishna is always busy enjoying his transcendental pastimes with his devotees, his loving devotees in the spiritual world, Lord Nityananda takes care of all of the rest. Krishna delegates everyone else to Lord Nityananda, Balaram. Rajendra Nandana Se, Sachi Sutta, Hoiloki, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. This Balaram, to whom Krishna delegates everything, is also Lord Nityananda. He has come again. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But first of all, understanding the position of Lord Balaram. Balaram expands himself as all the Vishnu incarnations. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Chirodakshaya Vishnu. The appearance of God in the material world. The origin of the whole universe. All of this is just a tiny portion of Balaram. And when Balaram appears in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Krishna is with the Pandavas, his loving devotees, and Balaram is taking care of who? Duryodhana. Yes, Krishna doesn't personally deal with those who do not want to be intimately associated with him in love. He delegates that responsibility to Balaram. So everyone who comes to this world, whether it's Gainesville, Florida, USA, or Pune, India, we're all here because at one point in our lives we thought it'd be a very nice experience to see what life is like when I don't have to make Krishna the supreme. I can be the supreme. I don't have to serve Krishna. Then immediately Krishna arranges places like this for us to come. But he doesn't leave us alone. He delegates our care to Balaram. So understanding Balaram in this way, we see that everything that exists in this creation is coming from Balaram through the agency of Vishnu. Everything that exists in this cosmic manifestation is just a tiny expansion of his fragmental part, how great he is. So Lord Nityananda is the latest appearance of Lord Balaram, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the latest avatar of Lord Krishna. Krishna Varnam Twisa Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was written 5,000 years ago, very prophetically, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya is predicted. He would be Krishna, but a Krishna, not blackish, but in a golden form. And he would come Sangopangastra Parshadam with all of his weapons, his astras. So his principal weapon in spreading love of Godhead among the conditioned souls, coming yada yada hi dharmasya, for the purpose of uplifting people in an adharmic environment in Kali Yuga. His first astra is Nityananda Prabhu. And so, this most recent incarnation of Krishna and Balaram, that is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, also has another predecessor incarnation, that is Ram and Lakshman. So Ram was the elder brother, Lakshman was the junior brother. Lakshman was always giving advice to his elder brother Ram. When the kingdom was taken from Ram, Lakshman said, "You should try to just take it back. It is yours." And Ram said, "No, no, I will honor the wish of my father, Dasarath, who has banished me to the forest." So then Lakshman, of course, insisted, "I must come with you." And then Sita also insisted, "I must come with you, Ram." And Lakshman said to Ram, "No, no, don't bring Sita. It'll cause so much trouble." But Ram overruled him and Sita came. "How could I leave Sita? She wants to come." So then, of course, Sita was kidnapped. So much trouble. And when Sita was kidnapped, Ram and Lakshman engaged the help of Bali to help and recapture her. But he was busy drinking during the rainy season, because that's what monkeys do. So when it was time to get on the job, Ram sent Lakshman to deal with him, right? Delegate. So Lakshman was always getting these assignments. Plus he felt he was never listened to. So he decided, "In my next birth, I'm going to be the older brother." So next time, Krishna and Balaram was the elder brother. And he thought, "Now I can get Krishna under my control." But Krishna was not very cooperative. For example, one time, it happened to be Balaram's appearance day, the Agasura demon appeared. Krishna killed that demon. And Brahma, watching it, decided, "I want to test this boy, Krishna." So he took all the cowherd boys and calves and hid them in a cave. But Krishna, knowing his trick, immediately expanded himself into all the identical manifestations of the cowherd boys and calves. And he did it so expertly that even Balaram didn't know. Even Balaram could not figure it out. For a year he couldn't figure it out. Then one day he noticed that all the cows up on Govardhan Hill were running down to be with the calves that were in the care of Krishna and the cowherd boys. Now those calves had long been weaned from their mothers. They didn't need their mother's milk anymore. But the cows, upon seeing them, just started dashing down the hill. And the cowherd men who were tending the older cows were very upset by this, because they were trying to show their sons how to take care of the herd. And now the herd is out of control. And so they went racing down the hill to their calves. And the men went running after them, very upset. But when the cowherd men got to their sons who were caring for the calves, they forgot all about how upset they were. They were just so happy to see their sons. They embraced them, they smelled their heads. And Balaram observed all of this. What is going on? He said, this must be a trick by Krishna because only Krishna's tricks work on me. So he confronted his younger brother who confessed, yes, I have been playing this trick on you. Later when they were grown, then Balaram said to Krishna, look, our cousins are fighting, the Kurus and the Pandavas. Don't take sides. Don't get in the middle. And so Krishna said, well, I'll do this. I won't fight. I'll just be on one side in the non-combat role, and I'll let my millions of soldiers go to the other side, the Narayans. So Duryodhana and Arjuna were racing to Krishna to try to get him and his army on their side. When they arrived, Duryodhana first arrived, and he put himself right at Krishna's head. Krishna was resting at the moment. So Duryodhana figured, when he opens his eyes, he'll see me. I'll be right in his face. Arjuna arrived second, and he very humbly stayed at Krishna's feet. So it so happened that when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjuna first. Oh, Arjuna, you have come. Duryodhana said, wait a minute, I was here first. So Krishna said, now, he's your younger cousin. Let him have the first choice, me or my armies. So, of course, Arjuna said, my lord, I just want you on my side. Krishna said, you know I won't fight. He said, yes, my lord, I just want to be with you. That's all that's important to me. So Krishna agreed, and Duryodhana was thinking, what a fool. What a fool. So gradually, Duryodhana took Krishna's armies, which was what he wanted anyway. So he got millions of soldiers, and Arjuna got Krishna as an Uber driver. And they were both happy. But Balaram was not happy. Why are you getting involved? So he just left. So again, Balaram was not getting what he wanted as the older brother. So he decided, next time, I'm just going to do whatever I want. So this is Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the Avadhut. He is not exactly fitting in any varna, ashram, or position in society. Lord Chaitanya says, I'm taking sannyas. And Lord Nityananda says, yes. And then as soon as they are traveling together and he has the opportunity, Lord Nityananda takes his danda and breaks it in three and throws it in the river. In fact, just when they were leaving the home of Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya was all set to go to Vrindavan. And Lord Nityananda went ahead. And he told some cowherd boys, when you see the sannyasi come, tell him the Ganga is the Jamuna. So the boys agreed. And Lord Chaitanya was quite oblivious, dancing in ecstasy, freshly renounced, eager to go to Vrindavan. And then Lord Nityananda said, look, there's the Jamuna. And Lord Chaitanya said to the boys, this is the Jamuna? He said, yes, yes. Oh, we're in Vrindavan. And then, of course, who appeared? Advaita Acharya suddenly appeared on a boat. And and Lord Chaitanya said, Advaita, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? And Advaita Acharya, who's very diplomatic, he said, my lord, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Please come to my house for prasad. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to the house of Advaita Acharya. They were seated. And Lord Chaitanya said, I am a sannyasi now. I just take a little bit of rice and vegetable. And Advaita Acharya said, yes, yes. And then he began bringing huge quantities of prasad. So Lord Chaitanya was protesting, I'm a sannyasi, I can't eat so much. But Lord Nityananda was saying, I came here today to break my fast and this is all I'm getting? And Advaita Acharya said, look, I don't know exactly what class you belong to. But just stop your greedy mentality and accept whatever little alms I can give you. I'm just a poor householder Brahmin. And Lord Nityananda said, I thought I was going to break my fast. This is all I get. And he threw, in disgust, he threw some rice at Advaita Acharya. And when that rice hit him, Advaita Acharya began dancing. Haribo. He called Lord Nityananda a reject Paramahamsa. So these are the exchanges between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya had no control over what Nityananda Prabhu would do. So in that mood, Lord Nityananda brings Krishna consciousness to the most fallen people. He went out preaching on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the most obnoxious people in the whole village were these two fallen Brahmins named Jughai and Mudhai. And these two, although they were born in an elevated family, had descended to the most degraded activities, breaking all of the regulative principles, engaged in all sorts of illicit activities, business activities, exploiting the people. So Lord Nityananda approached them along with Haridas Thakur and said, please, please, chant Hare Krishna. Give up your sinful ways. So Jughai and Mudhai, who were quite drunk, were amused and yet offended by this entreaty from Lord Nityananda. So they struck him with a pot and drew blood from his transcendental head. So when Lord Chaitanya heard about this affront to Lord Nityananda, he immediately appeared on the scene with his Sudarshan Chakra. Because the Lord can tolerate many offenses, as he showed with Shishupal, many offenses to him directly, but he cannot tolerate an offense to his devotee. So when Lord Chaitanya came, he was prepared to decapitate Jughai and Mudhai in the same way he decapitated Shishupal, with only this one offense. But Lord Nityananda intervened. He said, my Lord, if you kill all of the sinful people in Kali Yuga, who will be left? There'll be no one left. How can you do this? So he intervened on behalf of Jughai and Mudhai. This is a very important lesson. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. So we may displease Krishna, but if we please our spiritual master, we are safe. But even if we please Krishna, if we displease our spiritual master, nagati katopi, our destination is unknown, uncertain. So Lord Nityananda intervened on behalf of Jughai and Mudhai. And when they saw his great compassion and his great tolerance of them and his willingness to accept them even in their fallen condition, their hearts were changed and they surrendered and begged him to accept them as his disciples. So this is the mercy, just a little sample of the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It is because he has no restrictions within the Varnashram paradigm that he can approach anyone, and he does, and he can extend the mercy of Lord Krishna to everyone. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya without Nityananda is a great offense. They are together always. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Balaram, the most merciful. So I wanted to say a few words about this mercy of Lord Nityananda. You know, this morning some of you were here when Radhishyam Prabhu sang the bhajan, Parama Karuna Pahundvijana Nitai Gora Chandra, Sabha Avatar, Saro Shiromani. They are the essence of all incarnations. And their path for spiritual life and progress is very appropriate for this materialistic age. What is that? Kevala Ananda Kanda. It is the Kanda, the path that is Kevala Ananda, only bliss. Only bliss. Only happiness. Only joy. This path of Krishna consciousness, for people like me, who were born in families and in situations where no one had any inkling of Vaishnavism or bhakti or Krishna consciousness, the mercy of this process is so powerful that it penetrates all those layers of conditioning and gives even the most rejected persons a chance to proceed in spiritual life. It is said that sannyasi should not cross the ocean. This is one of the Vedic prohibitions. If you take sannyas, you should not leave the holy land of Bharadvarsha, because if you do, you're risking that you will leave your body in a sinful place. And all of your tapasya and all of your renunciation, your tyag, your vairagya, all of it will be for naught because of that horrible departure from this world. Therefore, stay in this safe, holy place. But the mercy of Lord Nityananda is such that Lord Chaitanya envisioned every town and village of the earth will hear the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in that mood of Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada fearlessly got on this freighter, this ancient freighter, and crossed the Atlantic and came to this very sinful place, America. And there, for a year, he struggled with no support, very little response, but he was always feeling the blessings of Lord Nityananda as manifested in his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. So just think how pleased he was to see his devotee taking this great risk. So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, the very fallen people somehow became a little interested in the chanting of Hare Krishna. And then from that little beginning, Srila Prabhupada was so tolerant, so accepting, so appreciative of anyone who had the slightest interest that he made it easy for them to come forward. When the first few devotees, the first few men wanted to stay in the ashram so they could study Krishna consciousness more actively, well, the only ashram was a storefront at 26 Second Avenue, a little storefront with a sink in it. Prabhupada had an apartment in the back building. So all these young men would take showers at Swamiji's bathroom. And Swamiji would wait in line with the other men for the use of the shower. You see this mercy. You see how the mercy of Lord Nityananda means you see past all other considerations and see the spirit soul within, not the material body. That is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The mercy of Lord Nityananda is such that it makes no difference if one is young or old, African, Chinese, European, Indian, male, female. These are all just temporary designations for this eternal spirit soul within. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada could see the spirit's soul even where others couldn't. And he accepted their sincere efforts to serve, even though there was a great distance for them to travel in terms of the classic Varnashram and Vedic purifications. This is why particularly this mood of Lord Nityananda is so important in Kali Yuga, because it's not possible to come to the platform of Vaishnavism by the processes of bhakti, by the processes of Vedic rituals for this day and age. One of Lord Chaitanya's disciples, Rupa Goswami, said, define bhakti or devotion in a way that makes it possible for us. He says, Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam anukulena krishnanu shelanam bhaktir uchite. That devotion to Krishna that is not in any way motivated by becoming a wise scholar or by getting some sort of benefit either in this world or in the heavens, but only motivated by wanting to please Krishna, that's real bhakti. So this process of bhakti that Lord Nityananda gave us makes it accessible to everyone. Srila Prabhupada compared it to taking the elevator to the top of a tall skyscraper or taking the stairs. Through what Krishna calls the flowery words of the Vedas, one can gradually rise up to the platform of bhakti. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one can immediately take to bhakti and immediately come to that platform of pure, unalloyed devotion to God. That's the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Now, you know, when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind baby Krishna, and the rope was always two fingers too short, right? What are those two fingers? The endeavor and the grace. So the grace is there by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. The endeavor has to be there from our side. That will make it possible, even in a fallen age, to come to the highest platform of bhakti. So what is this Kevala Anandakanda, this path of pure ecstasy? It's described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in a very nice way. Bhakti Pareshanu Bhava Viraktaira Anyatra. These three things. That bhakti, or devotion to Krishna, along with direct experience of God, Pareshanu Bhava, and viraktir anyatra, a lack of interest or a loss of interest in extraneous materialistic things. These three things happen simultaneously for one who treads the path of Lord Nityananda. Tristrilokya kalaya, eka kalaya, one time. These three things happen eka kalaya, once. Prapadyamanasya, just as yatash natas yus, a person who's eating, and this is a very good verse just before prasadam on a fast day, just as a person who's eating experiences three things. First is pleasure. Second is nourishment, fulfillment. And third is relief of hunger. See, so this tushti pushti chud apayo nughasam, yeah, with every morsel. So on the path of Lord Nityananda's Sankirtan movement, the mercy that we get from him, we experience immediately joy, relief from all material distress. This is the first symptom of pure devotional service that Rupa Goswami enumerates. Right? Relief from all material distress and experience of the highest transcendental ecstasy. So this is bhakti, followed by parishanu bhava, direct experience of God. That is compared to nourishing the soul. I know for myself, raised as a vanilla Christian, in my house religion was not a very important thing. And other things were far more important. But it was very dissatisfying. I felt depleted. I felt incomplete. And it wasn't until I met Srila Prabhupada and read his books and met his devotees that I could understand God as a concrete principle that is the foundation of life, of happiness and fulfillment. That this is Pareshanu Bhava, that one can directly perceive Krishna through the processes of bhakti. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitramidam Uttamam Pratyak Sarvagamam Damyam Shushukam Kartum Avyayam. Pratyaksha means direct experience. So this is Parashabhavana. That's a direct experience of God. Everyone can experience. And finally, Viraktir Anyatra, or relief from hunger. In other words, no more interest in the extraneous things of this world. Arjuna was interested in his bow and arrow and his chariots and in the competition. He was attentive to all these things. But his purpose was pleasing Krishna at the end of Gita, right? You remember in the beginning of Gita, Arjuna is very confident. But when he sees what he has to give up for his material gains, he says it's not worth it. He loses his heart. So Krishna helps him through the course of the Gita understand, no, do your duty, but do it for me. And by the end, again, we find Arjuna very confident. Now I am sure we will win. So in the same way, we have our duties in this world. We all have our Kurukshetras. We have our family, our studies, our financial responsibilities, our family responsibilities. So many obligations that we have just living in this world. Lord Nityananda taught us how to do these things for Krishna. And all it takes is chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And living a pure life. Just giving up counterproductive, self-defeating activities. So Lord Nityananda went out into the world and opened the marketplace of the holy name. And there anyone can come and purchase this Kevala Ananda Kanda, this fulfilling, satisfying life of a devotee. And what is the price? A little faith. A little faith. A little Shraddha. It doesn't come, you don't have to start with it. This is what I tell people in the West. You know, in India, 80% of the audience are from Hindu background. That's a big advantage. In America, it's 1%. So we have to pray very hard to Lord Nityananda to get the Westerners to come. So this is what we say. Please just experiment. Just try chanting. Just try chanting and then make your decision. Don't be closed-minded and say, no, it's no good, without even trying. So on that logical basis, we can get them to try a little bit. So when they try, then they taste a little bit of that mercy of Lord Nityananda. This is called Adau Shraddha. It's a little preliminary faith. And if they're very fortunate, they get Sadhu Sangha, they will make friends with the devotees, and then they'll engage in Bhajana Kriya, regulated devotional practices under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. And then, much to their surprise, they begin experiencing Anartha Nivritti, Virakta Anyatra, losing interest in self-defeating activities, sinful activity. They just lose interest, and it's a miracle. It's something they have never experienced. So then comes Nishta, firm faith. And this is the price we pay to get bhava and prema. Right? Ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. This higher stages of love that is the birthright and the goal of every devotee. So today on Nityananda's Triodasi, Nityananda Triodasi, the appearance day of our most merciful Lord Nityananda, let us all resolve. This life is very short. I have been fortunate to spend my adult life as a devotee of Srila Prabhupada. And it has gone so fast. Almost 50 years just like that. Where did it go? Inside I'm still 18. But the body is saying no. So now, I just have this very great opportunity to share with you, please, please, use your life whatever you can. It doesn't mean you have to give up things artificially. Just give them up internally. Give them by giving them to Krishna. Lord Nityananda makes it so easy. And then to take the step further, share this mercy with others in the mood of Lord Nityananda. Even if it's Jagai and Madai, to reach out to others is the greatest way to please Lord Chaitanya. He has delegated the service to Lord Nityananda. And if Lord Nityananda is pleased with us, then Lord Chaitanya is certain to accept us. Srila Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay. So, all right. So, we may have a few minutes if there's any comments, questions, reflections on Lord Nityananda. Pastimes anyone would like to share? We have a microphone here.
Questions?
Any questions about anything in the discussion?
Can you share some of the wonderful preaching activities that is happening at Gainesville? It will be great job.
Yes, so in 1971, Srila Prabhupada had just a handful of temples, and they were always inviting him, please come, please come. We want you to speak in the colleges to the students. So Srila Prabhupada issued a challenge. He said, all right, any college that will pay a $1,000 honorarium, I'll go. First college that will offer me that honorarium, I will go. So the president of the little temple in Gainesville, Florida, which is a very small town, just about 1 or 2 lakhs of people. But the president was very determined. He went to the student council and he demanded, you must bring him. You bring so many nonsense speakers, you must bring my guru. Anyway, somehow he convinced them. And they said, all right, so they gave $1,000. So Prabhupada agreed to come to Gainesville. Now at that time there was not even an airport in Gainesville. He had to fly to an airport an hour and a half away in Jacksonville. So he flew from New York to Jacksonville, got in a car, drove an hour and a half through the farm areas to Gainesville. So when he arrived, the first thing he said was, here in this remote place, far removed from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Even here there is Krishna consciousness, he would say. And actually, if you look on the globe, Mayapur and Gainesville are just about as far apart as you can get. So while he was there, Srila Prabhupada said, do something wonderful. And wonderful means you have kirtan and prasadam distribution. Very simple. So the devotees took that up. And there is a place on the campus where it's an open green area with trees and benches. So the devotees went there and began chanting and distributing prasad. Now America has lots of... India, you have your Vedic rules and regulations. America has lots of legal restrictions on everything. So everyone has their challenges. So the devotees were out chanting and passing out prasad, and then the police came and said, you can't do this here. And the devotees, this was the 70s, very rebellious, they said, well, we're not leaving. So there's a picture, actually, of one police officer dragging the temple president. He would just went limp, and they were dragging him to the police car to take him and arrest him. So a little side note, many years later, I'll tell you that in a minute. Anyway, so what happened was the case went to court and the judge said, let the Krishnas have their picnic. So every day after that, starting in July of 1971, devotees have been out there on that plaza distributing prasad. And sometimes very poor people would come, students would come, and it became more and more popular to the point where the devotees said, we have to ask for a donation, or else we can't continue this, because 200 people coming and they had to raise money elsewhere and try to feed them. And these students are generally not from fairly wealthy families. So they said, okay, we want a little donation for each meal. We won't turn anyone away, but we ask a donation. So then what happened is the attendance tripled because people would rather donate than take money from a weird religious, take food from a weird cult. Turned out the students were much happier giving a donation, so they did that. And then it grew from 200 to 600 to 700, 800. Now 1,000 students come every day. So these students don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, for the most part. They don't know anything about bhakti or Bhagavad Gita, but they just like the prasad. And they like the fact also that all the devotees who are serving prasadam are having so much fun. They're very happy. You know, when you go to an ordinary restaurant and they say, hello, how are you? You know, but the devotees are genuinely having a good time and they appreciate it. Because they know when they're giving a scoop of halava, they say, human birth. So it has become very popular, even though the students know nothing about, they have no understanding of what it is. So sometimes they'll be saying, oh, I got to go, I got to get my Krishna. We call it Krishna lunch, but they just call it Krishna. And recently one of the devotees overheard two students talking. And one student said, you know, I'm really starting to love Krishna. And the other student said, well, if you love Krishna, Krishna will love you back. So even without reading, they're understanding the philosophy. And somehow, although this gathering goes on every day, every 200 days a year, it's like having 200 Sunday feasts a year. It's a huge endeavor. And our kitchen is about 10 square meters. This is a little tiny kitchen, but we're cooking for all these people. Somehow it goes on. Anyway, I was going to tell you that one day, so the campus has come to accept it. They tolerate us. They kind of like us. They know if they tried to stop, there would be a riot. So we're there. And nowhere else in America is it allowed. Nowhere, only at the University of Florida is this allowed. So one day the administrators were meeting with one of the devotees. And they were talking about some arrangements, this and that. And then the devotee had some pictures from the early days. So there was a picture of the police officer dragging the temple president to jail. And it so happened that that same police officer was there in the meeting. He was now in charge of campus security. So everybody looked, all the administrators looked at this picture and they looked at the policeman. And they said, what was this all about? And he said, didn't like the food. Good sense of humor. So sometimes we are there because we're a religious group. And we're distributing prasad, sacred food, and we're accepting donations. We never turn anyone away, but people donate. And it's a very sweet environment. And kirtan, by the way, is always going on. 2.5 hours a day, the kirtan, the prasadam distribution, everybody's out there. So the main religious practice in America is Christianity. So sometimes the Christian preachers look at all this and they become a little envious. Not all by any means. Most of them appreciate, but sometimes they become a little envious. There was one preacher who was very envious. And so he would come over to where the students were taking their prasadam, getting their plates, and he would say, this food is offered to idols. You shouldn't eat this. Don't do this. And all the students, even the ones who were wearing crosses, they were saying, like, very apologetic, "We're sorry. You know, we don't feel like he does." But every day he was out there, very determined, making a disturbance. I took a plate of prasadam to him and said, "Look, can we talk? Please take some food. Let's talk about it." "I don't want to eat your food." So it's a free speech area. We really couldn't stop him. So we talked. We figured the only thing we can do is just be humble and keep our heads down and just serve prasadam. So this went on for a week or two, very obnoxious. Even the students were upset. Finally, the students took it into their own hands. So as this young man was there reading from the Bible, another student stood up right next to him, opened his chemistry textbook, and started reading in the same voice. "And the oxygen joins with the hydrogen." And all the students started laughing. And then the preacher, he stopped and said, "You're being rude." Of course, he had been so rude. So all the students laughed harder. And so he was flustered. But he came back the next day. So the next day, the same students came out to him as he was reading. They all went before him and started paying obeisances up and down. "We're not worthy. We're not worthy." And everyone was laughing. And finally he went away. So anyway, these are some of the adventures of the lunch. The lunch has been going nonstop for going on 50 years now, in a year and a half. A little over a year, actually. But in spite of that, in spite of it going on being very popular, there were no devotees joining the temple. There had been one new devotee who had joined the temple in the last 10 years. Again, you try to understand, this is an environment where people just don't know about Krishna. And they have no background from which to appreciate Prabhupada. But they like the prasadam. So they're just serving the prasadam. We were serving the prasadam on and on. Finally, we said, "All right, let's see if we open some space for students that they'll come and live with us." Because people would come and be a little interested. So we opened an ashram and said, "Okay, if you will be willing to chant 8 rounds and follow the regulative principles, you can and come to the morning Bhagavatam class in Mangalarti, then you can live here." And we moved Mangalarti back from 4:30 to 6, make it a little easier, just to see. So 3 students moved in, much to our surprise. And one of them is in Pune, actually. I think he must be working today. Nimai Pandit Prabhu, he was there for 7.5 years. And we were very surprised they moved in, and we're even more surprised that they liked it. And they come and do kirtan, so we expanded and opened another ashram, and now we have 30 students who live full-time and practice Krishna consciousness every day. And that has been, to me, even more miraculous than the lunch. Because, you know, in the West, especially in America and UK and Australia, most of the people who come to the Hare Krishna temples are coming from Hindu backgrounds because they understand and appreciate it so easily. But there, somehow, the people from all walks of life are coming. And when you have people who have been practicing Krishna consciousness their whole life, like children of devotees, you have people from Hindu families who have been appreciative of Varnashram, Vedic culture, their whole lives, and then you have people from Malecha backgrounds who have absolutely no knowledge of it, all coming together for kirtan and reading Bhagavatam and taking prasadam and finding out how much they appreciate each other. And how close they become. It is really miraculous. It is just as it was said about Srila Prabhupada. He built a house in which the whole world can live. This is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It really is for everybody. So over the last 10 years, we have trained and graduated about 300 devotees. And That's not much by your standards, but it's a lot for America. And these devotees, many of them are now doing book distribution. They are, two of them are temple presidents. Many of them are congregational members, but they have a good basis in sadhana, foundation like that. So this has been the very special part of the last 10 years at Krishna House. And really, we call it the Bhakti Academy. That's our main service now. The lunch is really just a way to engage the students, you know. And the students themselves coming and educating them, that's our real main service. So we take great inspiration. You have the voice program here in Pune, right? You have the choice program in Juhu. You got the base program in Chaupati, right? So lots of choices. You have so many, dozens and dozens of these centers. We have one in all of North America, and it's Krishna House. But we're showing that it can be done, and that's what's important. Now, if you went there, you'd be very surprised because we do things very differently. We do things more like Srila Prabhupada did in 26 Second Avenue. Take away a lot of the cultural overlays because it's just too much for the Westerners. So I can tell you more about that maybe in a class. But I think we're ready now for Arti. Okay. So thank you very much. It's a wonderful pleasure to be here. I appreciate it. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.